You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
The title of the message this morning is Wisdom for the New Year. And I'm really taking just one verse from Psalm 107. If you have a pew Bible, it would be on page 506, if I did my math correctly. And 507, actually, because it goes on to both. But you know, we cannot prepare for everything, right? We face a year of unknowns. Unknowns bring with them lots of uncertainties. And whether you're raising a family, experiencing a job change, going to a new school, starting a different job, grinding out the same thing but not sure what's going to happen in your existing profession, there's a lot of stuff that's unknown. And we really can't control, right? A lot of things. And the more we're aware, we just realize you just can't control your circumstances. Now, you can choose to sit in a box the rest of your life, but for Christians, that's really difficult because God calls us to go out and be a blessing and have impact for his namesake. So that means we deal with a lot of unknowns. And we need a lot of wisdom or help to know how to handle that because we can't know everything. Only God does. And so I would just say that depending on what you and I are thinking, what we meditate on, will really determine our outlook for the year ahead. If we have potentially meditated on a lot of kind of scary things that could happen in 2018, we can have kind of some turmoil in our heart and some concern about that. If, like I was when younger, I wasn't thinking about anything at all, I was quite excited about every new year. I didn't know what it was, and everything was going to be a big party. That's not necessarily the way to approach life. Sometimes you have to approach classes a second time because of that, but that's a story for another day. But let me just talk to you about some things, and we're going to play a little game at the start of this today. I hope this works, okay? No. To help us see how we approach different things, all right? So we're going to do word association, and the thing I want to do at the start is for general categories right at the start, when I show you something on the screen, I want you to just clock in your mind whether you have a positive or negative response to what you see. And depending on this, hopefully these are all real tame. I'm not going to really, and if you just have to blurt out something, that's of course fine. But I'm trying to make it as gentle as I can for everybody like this. But just to show you what, when people come up against something that is sudden and it flashes in front of them, what their initial reaction is to that, right? All right, so here's one right at the start. And just think positive or negative, and then we'll see how it goes, all right? Here's the first one. How are we doing? Okay. Positive pepperoni, right? Okay. Those of us that are thinking carefully, where's the sausage, right? I mean, if we're sausage, okay. But somebody might think, you know what? I don't do real well with dairy, right? So they look at pizza, and that's not a positive thing, right? It's just pizza, but people have two different thoughts about it, right? Potentially, or even more. All right, next one. Sorry. Bad pixelation here. That is a car. That is not cotton candy. Okay? So that's snow. And so think with me. How many say positive? Yeah, like that. How many say... And while we're being positive, toss it out there. I heard it. What do you say? No school. What else do you do in a lot of snow? Sled. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff you can do. All right. All you hardy long-term Chicagoans that are on the negative side of this issue, why do you not want that picture up there? Fine. Yeah. Shoveling, danger in traveling. There's a lot of things, right? Okay, so snow is snow. But depending on how you look at it, kind of determines whether or not you can navigate that. I believe that's a tad bit of a smile. I'm not sure. Okay, there you go. Yes. Okay, I had to do that. Look at Mrs. Bird. She's about to dance a jig back there. Oh, my. And we'll just skip right over that, right? Okay, positive and negative, okay? depending on what you already think about that. Depends on whether or not you think that cub symbol up there is worth a happy or a sad thought. All right, here's another one. Bills to be paid. Yeah. Most of the time, a little bit negative, right? But I've heard there are people that say, bills to be paid, and it's not a problem if there's money to pay them. So your perspective changes. I mean, in a sense, nobody really loves bills a lot. But, you know, if you have $1,500 of bills right there, and you have $150,000 sitting in a slush fund in one of your offshore accounts, what's a big deal? Right? Depends. It's a bill, but you bring your interpretation to it, right? And depending on what resources you have at your disposal, depends on how you think about it, correct? All right, whoop. I blew it. Politics, okay, we can go through that one. I thought I'd just try to create some agitation in the church, okay? And we don't need a social commentary, but do people feel happy or sad? Sometimes based on the elephant or the donkey or politics at all. And then how about this one? Okay. I mean, honestly, is that really ugly? Well, depending on if you, like me, were finally able to get the fat little rat mouse behind the stove and get him out of your house, get it out, you know, they come in every once in a while. You think, oh, I just love to have a little pet. And little gray mouse is the way you go. Okay, you got the idea. These are all these things are just events. Did we skip school? How did I skip school? All right, positive or negative? Okay, why? It depends on where you're at. Some of you guys are going back to midterms. I was praying with some of the kids up here, and that's a rough one. We got to pray, God help me to remember everything I forgot. Some were already done, but you know tomorrow morning comes earlier than when you've been sleeping in for the last 2 weeks. All right? So all that kind of stuff there's school is school. Pizza's pizza. The Cubs are the Cubs. The Cubs are the Cubs, and on we go. But it's what we bring to that that determines whether we're happy or sad about it. All right? So we come to 2018, which, by the way, is the 130th year of our church's existence. That's older than me, okay? And a great year. There's opportunities in that, even from the life of the church, to thank God. But depending on whether you're thinking about the church, your job, your situation in life, what's coming, what's not coming, what the future does to you is it reveals really essentially what type of interpretation or previous thoughts you're bringing to it. So my challenge is for you and me to come through all this silly little exercise and think about what is a way to really have a wise approach to 2018. It's going to have some good things in it, like pizza and perhaps the Cubs. It's going to have some bad things in it, like perhaps school and bills. But we can't control when those things come or not. We're all pretty sure the Bears aren't going to win anytime soon, okay? Another thing we can set up, all right? But we're trying. But in order to face the year and to really be able to kind of navigate it, we've got to have the right information and the right truth already packed away so that we learn how to interpret that. It is possible in every picture that I showed you to have a positive response to that based on information, correct? Every one of those things you could be happy about. I happen, as you know, to be a White Sox fan. Happens when you grow up on 35th Street. Well, that's not true because some people have in there the other way. But the point is, I could become a Cubs fan if I listen to Ron Barilla long enough and believe that what he says is true, all right? Because Ron's a good Cubs fan. I can change. If I change what I meditate on, I can change how I feel or how I approach anything if I change the information that I'm putting in about said situation. So, you and I no doubt have some challenges we're going to be facing. Some classes are tough. Some jobs are difficult. Sometimes it's duration and other things. But we have to have a core truth or a corpus, a body of truth to navigate that. So let me take you to one verse at the end of Psalm 107. And I think this would be a wonderful challenge for us, by God's grace, to push into everything that we can this year. And let me read it for you. Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. I'm going off my notes for a second, Josue. My apologies. Have you ever, with your husband or wife or a sibling, woke up on what we call the wrong side of the bed, and they have not done one thing wrong other than exist, and you have a problem with them right at the start, and you're grouchy and cranky and pointing your finger and picking apart how loud they are in the morning and how they made coffee wrong and left their shoe 3 inches to the other side? Okay, now that I've opened my heart wide to you, I don't know about 3 inches, you can talk to Kirsten about what a doofus she lives with on sometimes in the morning, okay? I believe that your salvation is eternal, but I every once in a while I'm challenged that between like 4 in the morning to 7 in the morning, there may be a time where believers can lose it for a little bit and then come back. Can't find that in the Bible, but anyway, but it's just, you just, anybody else bad like that in the world besides me? Am I the only one? Okay, I'm not looking. But what happens is, early in the morning, or before you can think the right way, we naturally think the wrong way. And I can even say that in certain cases, it's even what maybe I've dreamt about the night before. And I'm coming out and wondering, is everybody in the house okay? Because I don't know what I dreamed about. You know, okay. It's so important for you and me to make the Word of God and truth about God the absolute foundation and tethering point for what is going on in our noggins. So this guy, the author's unknown, Psalm 107, starts in the last of the 5 collections of Psalms this way, with an explosion of praise that God's people should give thanks because he is good. And then the rest of the psalm really follows a pattern that we'll talk about in a second. And then it closes with this really exhortation to you and me. Do you want to be wise? What a question. In other words, when you know you can't control all of your circumstances, what you have to have is skill in handling those circumstances. So anybody who plays a sport, anybody who works a job, anybody who lives near another person, whether it's in your house or next door, you have situations to navigate. And you can't control how other people think and act and what the other team brings to you or what influences your company dumps into your bag of obligations and what resources they take away. But what you can control is how you and I respond to all of that. And that is called wisdom, knowing how to respond the right way to good and bad. That's one way to approach it. So whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. One of those things here is let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And it's almost as if the psalmist is telling us in these things, go back and look at the rest of this psalm. So would you do that with me for a few moments this morning? I'm not going to do it in completion. But I want us to look, first of all, just at the pattern of the psalm and then the conclusion of the psalm again, which we've already referenced. So here's what happens in Psalm 107. After we get that opening expression of why God's people in verses 1 and 2 and 3, who the people that have been gathered together need to praise the Lord and speak out of what he has done because of his steadfast love enduring forever. Ever. After that initial thing comes out, look at verse 4. Here we see the pattern that is going to show up repeatedly in this psalm. First of all, people have a problem. It says, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. That's a problem. We need food and water. There's no reason interpretationally to say, to make these things figurative, and yet you cannot take these verses and really find with 100% clarity the exact place in geography or in history where it fits into the Israelites' existence. But given that it's a group of Israelite people writing these psalms, you know they're reflecting back to the wilderness wanderings in certain cases and other hardships. We just can't say it's exactly which one. But he's looking back and he's saying, there's been a time where we're wandering through the desert. There's no place to dwell permanently. We're hungry and thirsty, and inside my soul starts to faint. This is verse 4. That's a problem. We have wanderings and physical kind of depressions that we deal with. What happens in verse 5? It says that, verse 6, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So the problem shows up first, and then there's a prayer. They cry out to God for help. Problem, prayer to God. A third thing that happens, God is willing to deliver. So God looks at their plight, their trouble, and steps in to rescue them from their situation. Then what do they do in response to the deliverance? It says, they cry to the Lord in their trouble. He delivers them from their distress in verse 6. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Verse 8, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And if you find that, if you read through that psalm, you're going to see problem, a prayer, a deliverance, and praise happening repeatedly through there. We're just going to stop and talk about that first one to set the tone for it. So you're going to find one of the main divisions in our psalm here is this verse 8, thanking the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So that when we get to the end of the psalm, he looks back at all over this peppering of all the trouble that they've come. You know, you read another scenario in this psalm where it says they walked away in stubbornness and in sinfulness, and they walked away from the Lord. And then they dealt with the trouble that their sin caused. But guess what happened when they were dealing with their sin? Then they cried to the Lord. And you know what the Lord does not do? He does not say, you messed up and you're in sin, I'm not going to deal with you. Then the Lord hears their cry and delivers them and brings them out and brings them back into fellowship. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So on and on it goes through the psalm. The pattern is simple in Psalm 107. There's a problem, there's a prayer, there's deliverance from God, and there's people rejoicing. And it happens over and over again. So that's the pattern. Would it not be wise for us to see or begin to trace the pattern of God's steadfast love in our lives? This brings us maybe to a possible tension point for a second, because who is being spoken of or to are people that are in fellowship, in communion with God. So if you're here today, and you have not come to the place where you have accepted Jesus Christ as a king, as a savior, as Lord, as the one who has the right to rule your life, if you have not come to the place where you have said, I repent of my sin, I put my faith in what you have done for me, then really these verses don't apply to you yet, because they can even today. Because God is speaking about those who he has a relationship with. And those who have a relationship with God are those who have come to him by trust and belief in what he has said. So that pattern then is more and more evident the more we look at it. We had a chance to get together. We're at the Joseph's house recently, and we were looking at some of Miss Trish's paintings. And she was telling us about one painting she did in college where the assignment was, for educational purposes, was to pattern the painting as best you can down to the type of brush strokes of the artist that they were copying and then trying to sell it for the same price, right? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, not that case. And the point was, as you study a painting, you are better able to reproduce it. And the longer you look at one thing, the better you can make sense of it somewhere else. The more details, the more contours in art and other things that I don't know. And so it is for us with our eyes of faith towards God. We must be looking for evidences of God's steadfast love in our lives. The challenge simply is, what kind of world do we live in, right? It's a tough one. The challenge is some of the circumstances that we've faced. And some of us have faced some things that we shouldn't have had to face. The challenge is the heart that is inside of us that tells us, I don't need God, I don't need His word, I just need to be the best person I can be. And that will only lead me astray. And all those influences, the world, people, our own heart, pull us away from spending as much or more time on this. There is a God who has demonstrated steadfast love to people like Daryl, and not just Daryl, but the people that are here today. Think with me for a second. I'm jumping my notes. You say, I don't know if the Lord loves me. Well, if the Bible is true and tells you and me how to be in fellowship with God, think about how kind and good God is to bring you, even today, to put it into your heart to hear how you can be in fellowship with God. Is that a sign of kindness and goodness to tell you the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ? Think with me, many of you have a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible today and you want one, I'll put one in your hand before you go. Okay, we'll get you one. We'll get you two if you want it. And you, every day, can sit down with that and let that book tell you about God's steadfast love for you. What is steadfast love? It's the idea of His loyalty to you. Man, some of us have faced disloyalty and it hurts. God is steadfast and loyal in His love. He's a promise-keeping God. He's a God who says, when I love you, I don't stop. It's a promise that God makes. It's a commitment. It's loyalty. It's the idea that when I say I will do this, I have set my love on you, it will stay. And we have a Bible that tells us, but we'll skip out for fun stuff, sometimes worthless stuff, and we don't listen. Think about in our day of technology, you can listen at any time during the week to MP3s, MP4s. You can pull up different websites and podcasts and Vimeo and YouTube teaching and all kinds of, it's everywhere. You can hear as much as you care to about the steadfast love of God. And yet, somehow, I still struggle believing this sometimes. Why am I talking to you about this? Because this is something that's coming out of my reading of the scripture recently. Because I tell you, sometimes I personally respond to uncertainty with the idea I've got to control it. I sometimes feel threatened by what I don't know. That's a natural human response. But in Christ, I have a God who's there. Inside a relationship with a covenant, love-keeping God, He will never do me wrong or ill. So, whoever is wise, he is to attend to these things. He is to spend time on considering the steadfast love of the Lord. So I'm calling us today to spend time in the new year considering the ways God has demonstrated his steadfast love to you. You see, you bring an opinion to every experience. Some of us are bringing an opinion to 8 o'clock tomorrow morning or 8:10 whenever the bell rings and school starts. You can change and be pumped about it if you change how you think about it, if you happen to be unhappy about it. This is crazy, but you could actually turn into a mice-loving person. Mouse-loving person? You could. I'm not saying you should. Based on what you choose to think about. That's what you can control. That's what I can control. What I allow to sit in here. So here is a psalm. You can see the struggle to go back and say, I'm probably struggling to believe that God's steadfast love is sure as I even look at the history of my own life or maybe the history of the nation of Israel. But I'm going to go back and recount how God has been faithful and good to me. And I'm going to go over it and over it in my mind until it sticks so that I can culminate at the end of the psalm saying, whoever wants to be wise, I'm going to tell you how to get there. Attend to this. Consider the steadfast love of the Lord. You say, how do I get to there? Let's meditate for the remainder of our time on that last verse. Here's the conclusion of the psalm. How many times am I going to read it? I'll spare you. I won't read it again. Maybe you'll have it memorized by the end of these few minutes. But in verse 43, we see, first of all, his call to the importance of wisdom. In sports, if you don't develop sports IQ, you may have all the physical talent in the world, but the coach doesn't let you off the bench because he never knows if you're going to have a brain cramp in the middle of the game and do the wrong thing because you've not navigated and developed the skill in how to approach your sport. If we don't learn how to navigate and develop our people skills at work and communication skills, we usually run into the wall on all kinds of different things, and other people get promoted and we don't. I'm not here to say I'm some manager and no, but I'm just maybe some things that are generally true. So we learn these skills to develop. And so he's saying whoever is going to be wise or whoever is wise does this kind of stuff. I want to let you know it's so important in the world in which we live to be wise, to have skill. And let me just talk about the possibility for a second. You don't have to have an education to be wise. I'll say this over and over again. I am for education. I spent a long time studying. Didn't go in too quick, okay? But that's not the key. God can use it. But if you will develop the ability of listening to God and obeying God, regardless of whether or not you have anything behind your name, high school, college, grad school, or on, you can still be wise. This does not denigrate academic excellence. It just lets us know when God talks to you, he's not saying you got to go to a school in order to do it. The possibility of wisdom here is, I want to assure you, whether you feel you're smart or not, whether you feel like you know God well or not, whether you feel like church is comfortable for you or not, anything like this, if you want to be wise and you know even one verse, if you obey that, you're on the path of wisdom. Most people, as I've heard many times, probably from my father-in-law, most people's biggest problem isn't what they don't know. It's not obeying what they do know, right? Most of us, if we would do what God's told us to do already, we'd be in a much better spot than where we are today. And we're wondering about the few things we don't understand rather than just obeying what God has put out there today. You, regardless of your education or your feeling of personal worth or skill, whether you feel smart or not, you can be wise. It is possible because this verse is telling you that people are, and it's a call to you. The second thing, you say, what does it mean to be wise? Just to review, it's developing skill in how to live. It's not avoiding life. It's not blowing up life. It's navigating life in a way that pleases God. It's skill. It's making God look big and good in every situation that your life touches. That's wisdom. Because that's what Jesus did in every situation. He left it, whether it was tough or easy, in a way that God would be pleased and glorified. So how do we get there? The psalmist tells us there needs to be a right focus and a pursuit of endurance. How do we develop wisdom? How do we get here? How do we deal with this? We need to focus on the right thing. And so in this psalm, one of the anchors for your year is this: the faithfulness, the mercy, the steadfast love. The idea here that God's loving loyalty is on display in your life. And if you're struggling with that, you've got to go on a hunt through your experience second and God's word first to find out if he says it, it's true. Now let me go find it in my life. We navigate our circumstances based on what God has said rather than navigating our lives based on our circumstances and then interpreting whether God is good or right or not. We start with him, and then we figure out how to live our lives. So you and I have to have this right focus. So again, for you and me, what focus does God's word play in your life? You personally and the Bible. Do you do anything with it? Are you thinking that because it's open right now in church, you're good for the week? I had a man down in the basement, I maybe shared this already, and expressing the difference between his mainline denomination and our particular assembly. He says, "You know what's different about you guys? You actually read that book." Now, he can only speak from his experience, and we can only speak from ours. But that at least made an impression, because this book actually kind of intimidated him. He didn't know what to do with it, but he got the idea that people here, we don't know it all, but we're just kind of saying, well, if it says that, I better do that. That's awesome. Well, if it says that, I better do that. I better study it some more. Better learn. Better figure out how to figure out what it means. Because that's the key. Because a lot of people kind of just maybe think it's a talisman. Oh, we have it up here for good luck. No, I don't know why it's there. It's just always been there. That's a good thing to have. The Bible's central. It kind of communicates that. Is it not a talisman? We don't touch it and pet it and hope we have a good day. But it reminds us here that this is the Word of God is central in our lives. And what we want to do with that is we want to listen to it and obey it. Listen it and obey it. God's Word. So when I read through God's Word, I see God's doing a lot of things. And it's always right. And people are doing a lot of things. It's not always right. And when I start looking more and more at what God is doing, I recognize what I should be doing. The path to wisdom means I get my eyes, I get my thoughts, I get them digging, focused into what God has said. The one who is wise, he attends to the things like this, that there is a God who has steadfast love for people like me. Well, I'm not worthy of it, you might think. I'm in that party, but it's still true. Well, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Well, the steadfast love of God is calling you to be where he is. So it goes. So at 2018, to have wisdom to deal with the challenges that are coming, you've got to make much of God's word and what he says. You've got to grow in that. So if it's reading it one time a week, let's challenge it two times a week. If it's one chapter a month, let's get to two chapters a month. Wink, wink. Okay? Do something with the Word of God. Don't let somebody talk to you about it. Don't be proud and think you understand enough about it just because you hear a little bit about it on Sunday and you can kind of talk some religious lingo with somebody. Don't go there. Say, God, I'm behind the times. That's the way I feel. God, I should know more than I know at 45. That's the way I feel. But oh God, show me some of that stuff that seems super basic that I feel like sometimes kids have a better understanding than me about. By the way, that's called humility. God, help us. Get it the right focus, then endure in that, stick at it. What are those terms? Attend. You see different, if you have a different translation in front of you, watch over, consider, think about, meditate on. And the concept of those words, while it's not 100% airtight, is the idea not of just of glancing, oh, I like the window, but oh, I wonder what that window's like. And for those of us who've been here a little while, is there a crack in that one too? As we look at, try to. Because we're staring at things to make sure they're okay. We want to analyze it to make sure it's all right. So we will stay at it until we understand every detail about it, and then we move on to the next one. We get this in many of our professional occupations, for herein we are hired. This is the call of God to be in fellowship and develop wisdom with him. Wisdom requires an interest in the truth. And I want to tell you, it's the most fascinating study that is out there. And there are many wonderful things to study. But the wisdom revealed in God's word is the pinnacle. So this is why, as a church, we, in our own little small way, never duplicated, never repeated that I know of, just want to take home a verse today off that back table. Pull one off there, see what it says, and see what God does in your heart this year with it. This is why, if you don't really know how to approach reading the Bible, and one of those Bible reading schedules off the back table helps you, take it home and try it. And then when it doesn't work, get rid of it. It may actually work all the way through, but it's better to try and stop than not try at all. Where's our heart at? Where are your affections at? How hopeful are you about this year? It is like Lamentation said, by the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. His compassions, his steadfast love never fails. That's hope for this year. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the whole year. I sure hope I do. I don't know what challenges we face, but I can tell you that I go into this with a God who has declared to Daryl that I will steadfastly love you through this year, no matter what happens in your life. I have a measure of stability now and ability to process many, many things that come at my rapidly shrinking brain, it feels like. So you and I today are some of our thoughts. You and I essentially are a sum of what we meditate on. You are your choices. You cannot make anything, change anything that's gone on. You cannot control the circumstances that will come ahead, but you and I can control how we think and process them. And this verse at the end of the psalm tells us that it's so important to think about those things in a wise fashion. How do I get there? By making much of this God who will not stop expressing perfect, pure, steady, loyal love to you. That's an anchor. That's a footing. That's a truth that you can hold on to. You and I, we can't control our experiences, but we can control how we think about them. Would you join me this year in meditating on the steadfast love of the Lord? The days we can't control, but if we think a lot about the God who is in control and how he thinks about you and me, we will change little by little from excessively critical people, maybe often fearful people, to dominating and controlling people, to people driven by lust and personal desires and habits, and others who are divisive and combative. All of those will be breaking away as God's steadfast love opens up in our understanding and gives us security to face the difficulties that lay ahead, whether they're in our own heart or around us. God, help us in this new year to develop the wisdom to face what he's brought in our paths. We've got a mission. We've got a mission to tell the world that our King reigns and he loves you and he loves them. It's not for us, it's for all. So we've got to be thinking the right way. Let's pray. Lord, as we close in a minute, we want to just testify that as a church, we're not a building. Lord, we are a group of people who have been captivated to some degree by your truth. We are a group of people that are in process, meaning, Lord, that we don't have everything figured out perfectly, but our lives testify that your grace is at work and you are winning and we are losing. We are moving to look more like Jesus and less like our own opinionated selves. And Lord, the way we get there today is the wisdom that comes from meditating and attending to the steadfast love of the Lord for us. So I pray that God's people in 2018 would be inspired to arise and shine for the light has come, the light of God's word in their lives. And so, God, help us to gather together and be intentional about how we live our lives for your glory. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.